The Second Oldest Profession, A World History of Espionage, Part 1, Lecture 9. Spies in the American Revolution, Foreign Operations.
2 years before George Washington reaped the fruits of a successful intelligence apparatus in the Culper Ring, he enjoyed the benefits of an undeclared alliance with France that Congress had speedily arranged through a secret agent. Tents, clothing, arms, munitions, and other accoutrements of war were channeled to the rebel army from France. But unlike the loyal Culpers, the agent responsible, Silas Deane, spied and double-dealed in the court of King Louis XVI for his own personal gain. The talented son of a Connecticut blacksmith, the avaricious Deane, America's first diplomat, had appeared well-suited for the post when the Committee of Secret Correspondence appointed him on 2 March 1776 at the age of 40. He had by that time graduated from Yale in the class of 1758, taught school, gained admittance to the Connecticut bar in 1761, married into wealth twice in 1763 and 1767, and entered into trade through the management of his first father's-in-law estate, entered local politics like so many merchants infuriated with the Townsend Acts, and impressed influential patriots, including George Washington and Benjamin Franklin, with his eloquent activism. In reality, however, Silas Deane was hardly the type to be entrusted with so important a charge. He was opportunistic and hell-bent on amassing a personal fortune. Throughout his brief tenure as America's first foreign spy, Deane exploited his position by embezzling the funds entrusted to him and speculating on the materiel placed in his care. Yet surprisingly, the Patriots actually benefited from Deane's greed, so much so that he may even have made amends with his fellow delegates had he not selfishly urged reconciliation with the British crown to better the prospects of a dubious land deal in 1781. Deane's mission was, after all, to quote historian Julian Boyd, one of the easiest any foreign envoy ever faced. The man he was to persuade, Charles Gravier, the Count of Vergennes, was always a convert, having grown embittered at Great Britain for having thwarted French colonial ambitions during the recent 7 Years' War. While stationed in Turkey as an ambassador, the foreign minister had written prophetically at the end of the conflict, "The colonies will no longer need Britain. She will call on them to contribute toward supporting the burdens they have helped to bring on her, and they will answer by striking off their chains." It was, therefore, only a matter of time. All Deane had to do was remain alert and patient, waiting for the moment Vergennes could sign a formal treaty while shipping the supplies he covertly made available in the interim. The sly Deane, however, chose to occupy himself with nefarious intrigues instead. Nevertheless, the 8 cargoes he dispatched, worth some 6 million livres in total, reached America in pristine condition and timely fashion just before Benedict Arnold's pivotal battle at Saratoga in autumn 1777. The prospect of wealth, as it turned out, was an equally effective modem for Silas Deane as patriotism when it came to being a good spy. Deane did his utmost to ensure the safe passage of French supplies since he had personally invested so much in them. He commissioned privateers, manipulated the value of the prizes they captured, and worked to convince Whitehall that the revolution in the colonies would ultimately fail so that the risks of his speculations would diminish and the value of his goods increase. These underhanded tactics worked well. Although hardly cut from the same cloth as Nathan Hale, Silas Deane completed his mission successfully, largely because, unlike the ill-fated Hale, Deane had substantial help. His equally selfish business partner and mentor was ironically his former student at Yale, the mysterious Edward Bancroft. Bancroft, a native of Westfield, Massachusetts, had entered the college thanks to his stepfather, David Bull, the proprietor of a respectable tavern called the Bunch of Grapes in Hartford, Connecticut. Other than this benefactor, however, he had had little. His biological father and namesake had died rather ingloriously in a pigsty during an epileptic fit when he was only 2, leaving his 28-year-old mother, Mary Eli, a widow heavy with her second child. The future spy's time together had been brief, however. Dean had left to pursue law, and Bancroft was apprenticed to a physician in Killingworth, Connecticut, shortly thereafter. But fate brought them together again in Paris, though not before Bancroft had established himself as both a chemist and a man of letters.